to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, we're continuing our study through this passage of Scripture on the last days, perilous times, as 2 Timothy chapter 3 states it. Did anybody not get the lesson sheet and you'd like to have a copy of it this morning? Okay, there's one here. Didn't get one. Anybody else not get that lesson sheet and you'd like to have a copy of it today? I titled this lesson after the text, Silly Women, Self-Help, and Subtle Deception. We're going to see verses 6 and 7 today. And you know this, you know that a lot of things in the Bible are not really politically correct. God says a lot of things that man doesn't like and man says is wrong, but God is the one who's right. And the Word of God can be trusted. And if that's not true, as a lot of folks state today, and there are a lot of evangelical type preachers even, and people who say, oh, you know, those restrictions and those requirements in the Bible were for the first century, and they're not timely and they're not relevant for us today. Well then you can just dismiss the whole Bible, because it's all written in antiquity. And why bother believing any of it if you don't accept the whole thing? That's the fallacy of the whole, what they call theistic evolution argument, that Genesis chapter 1, each of those days is actually an age. And they try to bring theism or creationism and evolution together so that the Bible can agree with science somehow. You know what? The Bible's not going to agree with science, because a lot of so-called science is wrong. And science is always changing, by the way, because it's based on observation. And the more we observe and the closer we get to realities by medical technology and scientific technology, the more we realize we don't know as much as we think we know. And science is always changing as people get closer and closer to realities. But God is the one who's right, and God's always right. And when God speaks on any subject, whether it's science or whether it's math or whether it's, astrology, whether it's, whatever God speaks on, he's our astronomy, I should say, God is always right. And we can trust God's word, and he will not speak inaccurately just because the culture is unenlightened. When God speaks, it's with reality and with truth. And that's one reason why I don't believe. There are many reasons why I don't believe in the flat earth theory, but that's another reason why I don't believe in the flat earth theory like some folks do today. And if you don't believe that, check out Google flat earthers. And you'll find out there are lots of folks who still believe that today. And it seems to be a revival of opinion in some people's thinking. And they come up with a whole elaborate system to somehow prove their position. And it goes back to what some call geocentrism, that the earth is the center of the universe. And they say that has spiritual significance to it, but the Bible doesn't even seem to verify that position. And the Bible talks about the circle of the earth way back in the Old Testament, and that's a ball, that's a sphere, not just a circle, not just a flat circle. And a circle is two-dimensional, but a sphere is three-dimensional. And so there are just lots of different positions that people hold today, and they say they're in agreement with the Bible, or at least what the Bible should say, but they're not. And so I say all that to precede this message, this lesson, because this passage of Scripture deals with silly women laden with sin. And why are women singled out this way? Well, there are some very good and real and true reasons for that we'll explore briefly this morning, but look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. First of all, we're going to concern ourselves with these two verses today. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And this passage of Scripture is offensive to some people, but the fact of the matter is God did not call or appoint women to spiritual leadership. And the Bible is very clear on that subject. We're going to explore that and some others. The idea of people who are ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's an important principle in our world today as well. And let's go ahead and get started here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Back up a little bit to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says in verse 13, for Adam was first formed and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Adam was apparently willful in his choice to disobey God, but the Bible says the woman was deceived. And there are some real definite foundational differences between the man and the woman, and we're going to consider a few of these things. But look at verse 12, which says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man. And we conclude from this that this is a gender issue, and each person is biologically what they are, by the way. And just a few years ago, we changed some wording in our church constitution that we would receive members based on their testimony, but they must be of their biological gender. You know, they must be acknowledging their biological gender. And God made male and female. God didn't make a male who thought who ended up thinking he was a woman and underwent a surgery so he could be a woman, so now he's a woman. God did not come up with that transgender type situation. That's man's wicked devices. And I read recently a statement, and I'll just go ahead and make a quick comment on this now since we're on this subject. The very, very friendly position that the Disney organization has taken toward this gay, lesbian, transgender stuff. And I would strongly caution any family who wants to take a dream vacation and take their kids to Disneyland or Disney World, because it's not the same as it used to be. It's not a family-friendly place anymore. And there's so much aggressive and militant backing of the gay lesbian lobby that it's just not the same as it used to be. So my advice to you would be, if you want to take your family on a dream vacation, go see the Grand Canyon. You know, go someplace where you can enjoy the works of God and nature rather than expecting the world to entertain you, because the world is not a good entertainment mode these days. And it's a shame that Disney has become what it has become, but I would even be cautious if I was a parent of young children about letting children watch Disney movies. If they're promoting this as actively, you know, there's such a groundswell and such a rebellion against Governor DeSantis, who's recently signed into law what has been called the "Don't Say Gay" legislation in the state of Florida. And it just appalls me that the aggressive gay lobby thinks that this is something that should be taught to kindergarten to third graders, and they're in such rebellion against this business. You know, what's school for? It's for education, not for social engineering. But that's what's going on in our world today. And it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so just be aware of it and protect your family, protect your children from that kind of garbage, that kind of rebellion against God's established order. Anyway, that's just sort of on the side. When the Bible says that the woman was deceived, the man was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Adam was apparently willful in his choice to eat of the forbidden fruit, but Eve was in the deception. She was caught up in that deception. I think it's interesting as well, there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And when childbearing is mentioned for the woman, we conclude that this is a gender issue, not merely a commentary on Eve herself. This is a gender issue. And who has the ability to bear children? No matter whether a person's had undergone surgery and they say they're a woman now, they used to be a man, only biological women can bear children. And some men could get real upset about that. Oh, that's not fair. That's not right. That's almost a situation that's been mocked in our culture, that, you know, you keep your wife home and keep her in the kitchen, keep her barefoot, keep her bearing children and all this kind of stuff. And it's just ridiculous, the insults that are hurled toward women who just want to be what God has appointed them to be, has chosen that they be. But this is very clear that this is a gender issue, and it's not primarily the focus of our lesson today, but I think that we need to address this issue just for the sake of clarity. And verse 6 there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that of this sort, these apostates, these who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, verse 6, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Much could be said about this, but the first principle that we'll see in this lesson is that God's will for women does not include spiritual leadership. That's not part of God's will for a woman. And 1 Timothy 2:12 says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And the bottom line is, although godly women are commanded in Titus chapter 2 to teach the younger women and be an example to them, God does not call women to preach. Period. God doesn't call women to be preachers. And I don't mind if somebody tells Joyce Meyer or whoever else I said so. God doesn't call women to be preachers. And if somebody says, oh, God called me to be a preacher and she's a female, she's mistaken. Either she's lying or else she's deceived herself, because God doesn't call women to be preachers. He said, I don't allow a woman to usurp spiritual authority over men. And though we're all aware of the common acceptance of women preachers today, God didn't call them. God didn't select them. And the Bible is very clear that God, this is not God's work or God's will, and those who operate are doing that outside of God's will. The Bible teaches us instead it's the man's position to be a leader. And many times in the Word of God we see God choosing, in fact most times God choosing a man. And in Ezekiel chapter 22, the Bible says that God said he sought for a man who would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, but he said, I couldn't find one. And there are a lot of different references like that in the Bible where God is looking for and calling a man, and that's not derogatory to women. Any godly woman that I've ever talked to has said that's what she desires. She desires a strong and godly man who will lead her and take charge of things. She doesn't want to be in the command position. That's not God's plan for a woman, especially when it comes to spiritual leadership. And this is a very common thing in our world today, but it's not God's will. I know there are some females who say, I should have been a man. And it's because they have a strong will and they have strong leadership tendencies, but God knew what he was doing when he gave that personality to that person who who, though she be a woman, she sometimes wishes she were a man because she just has a natural commanding type tendency. You know, we all have natural tendencies that need to be overruled and submitted to the Spirit of God. We all do. And every man would say the same thing, and every woman would say the same thing who knows the Lord. I have these tendencies that I just need to submit to God, because this is a tendency that's not the way God intended for life to be for me as a child of God trying to live pleasing to the Lord. And this is a natural tendency that I have that needs to be subdued and submitted to God and controlled by the Spirit of God. And just because a woman may feel like she has these strong leadership tendencies does not mean God intended for her to be a leader and be a command type person. It may be that she just needs to submit to the Lord and allow God to give her a meek and quiet spirit. And so that in itself is certainly not an answer just because I feel this way, just because I have this tendency. Go back in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. In Isaiah 59:16, the Bible says this, "And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him." God was looking for a man, and there was not a man available. In Jeremiah 5:1, these scriptures are in your lesson sheet. Jeremiah 5:1 says, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." God was looking for a godly man. And there are some reasons, there are some issues that cause the woman to be more subject to being deceived. And certainly there are girly men out there. There are men who are weak, who are not strong as they ought to be. But God created females, listen, God created females to be emotional creatures, emotionally driven creatures. I am so thankful. And please pray for my wife. She's not feeling well today, so she's home. But I'm so thankful for my wife, who adds a totally new dimension to my life that I would not have otherwise. She is sensitive. She has an instinct or an intuition about her that tells her what people are feeling, what people are thinking. And it's not a type of thing. But it's like woman's instinct, woman's intuition that allows her to be sensitive to emotional issues that men are dull to. And men don't get it. And so many times that has been a benefit to me in my ministry. And somebody says to my wife, "Oh, I'm so glad Pastor is this way or Pastor is that way." And she's smiling inwardly because she's the one who tipped me off to that sort of approach. Because I wouldn't have known that myself. You know, there are men who are, and God made men to be the go-to guy, the problem solver, you know, the strong, silent type in a lot of cases. But he made woman to be the emotionally driven person. The man is run by analysis. And I was just telling a young couple in my office a couple days ago that the guy, you know, whenever his wife says something to him about something that is lacking, he immediately goes into fix-it mode. How can I resolve this issue? How can I fix this thing? That's a man thing. And I said, the reality is sometimes a woman, a wife, just wants her husband to listen to her. And so I said, it's not a bad idea until you sort of get the hang of this to ask your wife, "Now, do you want me to do something about this, or do you just want me to listen to you?" because you need to talk about it, because often that's the case. I don't want you to fix anything. My wife's told me this before. I don't want you to fix anything. This is something I just need to get off my heart. Because she's more perceptive, she's more emotions driven than the man is, and that's the reason, I think that's the reason why Eve was deceived. But the man could see it straight up. He knew what was going on, and he was not deceived. He could look at the situation. He could analyze that situation and say, this is a trick, but, you know, you did, and so I'm going to too. He made the decision, and I don't know if it was driven by nobility like that or if exactly what the cause of it was, but the Bible says clearly he was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. And God made men different than women. Anybody who's been around the opposite gender for a while knows that. You know that you're different than the opposite gender. Women are different than men, and men are different than women. And they see things and they think of things differently. And I think one of the great principles is that the woman is more emotions driven, the man is more facts driven. And the woman is a responder, and the man is the initiator. And that's the reason why when I'm doing marriage counseling so often, it could sound like I'm blaming the husband, I'm blaming the man for everything that happens. Well, the fact of the matter is, he's the initiator. And she's simply a responder. She's not taking charge, and she's not starting things. She's responding to things that have been initiated. And if she has... Listen, gentlemen, if your wife has the wrong attitude, you have probably done or said things that have generated that, because she's a responder. If she's kind and loving and sweet and loyal and all those positive things, God bless you. You're doing some things so that she feels calm and she feels at rest. She feels loved, and that's the way marriage is supposed to be. Because the wife is the responder and the man is the initiator. And yet at the same time, she completes him. He's not complete without her influence. And so a husband needs to listen to his wife and be serious about her perspectives, because God put them together for a reason. The Bible said way back in Genesis 2, it's not good that the man should be alone. And there were more reasons, there are a lot of reasons for that, besides just the fact that he didn't have anybody who could reproduce himself. That there are far more reasons to that whole statement than just the reproductive situation. It's not good that the man should be alone. I've made him a help meet for him, a helper who is fit to meet his needs. And he has a lot of them. And a single guy has a lot of needs, and often he doesn't have a clue what's going on. And he acts kind of silly and dumb and ridiculous a lot of times. And that's how females perceive him, because he doesn't know what's going on. He needs a female to balance him out, to complete him. And that's the reason 1 Peter 3:7 says that husbands should dwell with their wife according to knowledge and give honor unto her as unto the weaker vessel. I was told just a few days ago and you know how this works. These days you're up for a lawsuit. You may be sued if you're an employer who asks the gender of the person who's making application. Isn't that ridiculous? And I was told recently of a company that hired a person who applied for the job, and the person was qualified, but they couldn't ask if he was what they were, and it turned out it was a she, and couldn't do the work, and after a few days quit or was fired because they couldn't do the work. But they were offended that anybody would ask the gender, because this was a person who was trying to be a man but is really a woman. And in many ways, women are the weaker vessel. Yes, they are. And I know some strong, burly women who could take down a man. But generally speaking, women are not built the way men are built, and they are more frail and fragile, and they're the weaker vessel. The Bible says that the husband should give honor to his wife as unto the weaker vessel, and they can be heirs together of the grace of life, that their prayers be not hindered. They can work together, and they can complete each other. And that's the way God intended for life to be. Aren't you glad that there's more variety to life than everybody being just like you? Aren't you glad everybody's not just like you? I'm glad of that. It'd be a pretty boring world if everybody was just like me, wouldn't it? Or if everybody was just like you. But God made male and female differently. And sadly, a lot of times, the Bible teaches that women are the ones who are drawn aside because they are more responsive emotionally and maybe not analytically, perhaps not spiritually. God didn't intend for them to be in a place of spiritual leadership. So the Bible says that these apostates, these people who've departed from the truth, will lead captive silly women laden with sins, and they'll prey on those who are already having trouble, who are already struggling. And since women are more inclined to be emotions driven, they need a spiritual leader who's pulling them in the right direction, because they may be more sensitive to the error of others, and they may be more easily deceived than men are deceived. And I think it's true that women tend to be more responsive to spiritual things, but they also tend to be more responsive to spiritual error and more accepting of spiritual error. Why is it that so many churches these days are run by women? You go in there, you know, the person who answers the phone is a woman, the pastor is a woman, the person who greets people is a woman, the person who is the office manager is a woman, and women run the place. And sometimes that's because men won't take their position, but men won't be necessarily so quick to be deceived by error either. God has given men the place of spiritual leadership. And women may be more spiritually perceptive than men, but they may also be more easily deceived. God created the man to lead. And we need more godly men these days. There are a number of Old Testament references. One of those is Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, where the Bible says that it's a curse for a nation not to have godly men to lead. Look at Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. It was a curse for a nation not to have strong and godly leadership, and for women to be leading the nation. Jeremiah chapter, and that's not a commentary that is contrary to women. It's not insulting to women. But it's a fact of the matter. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 37, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 37, the Bible says, a sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as women. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. And then again in chapter 51, verse 30, the Bible says, the mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might hath failed. They became as women. Men who became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. And a woman, if she chose to be insulted by that, she could be. And it seems to be a derogatory reference to women. But I don't know very many women who would glory in being out there with sword and spear and being on the battle lines and fighting like the men fight. I don't think that's necessarily anything to be envied. The Bible says there that their men became as women, and they didn't have strong men to get out and defend the nation and lead the people. And so that's not necessarily insulting, but these statements, although they're not intended to degrade females in any way, the fact remains God has a plan. God has a plan for the genders, and that it places and while it is gratifying on one level to be able to lead, it's a heavy responsibility to be in a place of leadership. And the men that God puts in a place of leadership, and if you're a husband and a father, you're that man, you're the man I'm talking about, that is a heavy weight for you to carry, and you should shoulder that burden, and you should stand up, and you should be the man, and quit feeling sorry for yourself, and be the man that God wants you to be. That's your responsibility. You can't have somebody stroking you and pampering you and coddling you all the time. If you're a man, be a man! Be a man. Take the leadership. Take your responsibility. And don't expect somebody to come and stroke you and make you feel better. The Bible says that a man, you know, often takes it in the neck. And nowadays he's got a target on his chest. And he becomes the focus of attacks, especially if he's determined to be a godly man. Just be a man and be willing to take that responsibility and protect those that you love and be a guardian and fulfill your responsibilities. You know what? Most of the time, it's not very much fun. And some of you men will know what I'm talking about. It sounds a little wimpy, and I certainly don't mean to come across that way, but sometimes it'd be nice to be able to defer and say, you make the decision. I'm glad I don't have to be in that position. You shoulder that burden. You do it. And sometimes men succumb to a strong-minded woman because it's easier. It's easier. But let me say this. Nobody's happy in that situation. Nobody's fulfilled, and nobody's moving in the right direction in that kind of situation where a man is glad to succumb to and submit to a strong-minded woman. Nobody's fulfilled in that position. God gives the man the responsibility, and every man should take that role and take it joyfully and take it willingly. We could talk some about self-help these days. There is a whole lot to be said about that, and there are different kinds of desires that people have. The Bible speaks in 2 Timothy chapter 3 of how people are drawn away with divers lusts, and a lot of times that has to do with just me meeting my needs, me doing what I feel like doing. There in verse 6, people led away with divers lusts. And I, it's not a helpful situation when people just follow their heart. Just follow your heart. Just do what your heart tells you to do. No, do what God says for you to do. Don't follow your heart. And don't choose to do what you like, because what you like will usually be the wrong thing. Don't follow your heart. Follow Scripture. Notice the third thing that we see under letter B in this lesson. It's in verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. More learning is not necessarily the answer. And today they say that information is just exploding. This is the information age. And here, I don't know what it is today, but a couple of years ago they said that, you know, back in the 60s, information was the volume of information available was doubling every few months. And at that writing, it was back in the 20-teens, they said information is doubling every 5 minutes or so. The volume of information that's available, and especially on the internet, is constantly expanding, and there's more and more and more and more information all the time. And people are really into information. If you're a trivia buff, why? Why? People like to learn things, and sometimes they seek knowledge just for the sake of having more knowledge, just because they love information. What's the point? And you can be a good conversationalist if you have a lot of information swimming around in your head, but it's far better to focus on things that are helpful, that will help to build a solid life, than just the desire to keep on learning. And sadly, there are a lot of people who are ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and that is typical of the day in which we live. I remember over the years, I've heard a lot of people say, and sometimes preachers said it. I never said it myself, but I know a lot of parents think that when their child graduates from high school, you know, the best thing they can do is go spend a year at Bible college. And when I personally went to Bible college, and it was a blessing because the first week I was there, I met the lady who would become my wife. But we both would agree on this. When we went to Bible college, a lot of times we in fact, most of the people that we met there were there sort of, their pastors and their parents had sent them there, and it was kind of like a reform school. They were hoping they'd turn around and move the other direction. We saw very few who were actually focused on wanting to serve the Lord, focused and desiring to follow Christ. In most cases, it was like, this is a fun place to be, and here we are for what we can learn, and my parents wanted me to come here because it's good for a young person to go to Bible college for a year before they start their career. And I totally disagree. Because if a person is not already focused on serving the Lord, it's not going to Bible college for a year may ruin them. It may not be a good thing for them at all. And too often it's this kind of a setting, ever learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Where is your heart? And if your heart is to serve the Lord, well then get busy serving the Lord. You don't have to go off to Bible college someplace to get reformed and get set on the right path. You need to be on the right path anyway. And so that's not necessarily a positive thing. And I saw this too often, where people are just looking for more, they're looking for more information, and too many people revel in gaining more knowledge. And it's good to be wise, but mere knowledge can make a person proud. They know all the answers. Look at Proverbs chapter 26. Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And I know verse 4 kind of says the opposite, but it's a different situation, obviously. But here is a response to a person who's wise in his own conceit. In James chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Godly wisdom comes from God, of course, and it will produce the right kinds of things. But just seeking knowledge for the purpose of seeking knowledge is not a good thing. I just want to know more about some things. Okay, why? What's your purpose? What's your point? Don't go to Bible college just because every young person should go to Bible college before they start their career. If you are reading your Bible and spending time in God's Word daily and are faithful serving and attending a good Bible preaching church, you don't need to go to Bible college. You'll probably see some of the, unless God has called you to a particular, very specific area of Christian service, then you will need some extra training and some extra information, some extra knowledge in some of those ways. But you know, God, the Bible says that God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 says. And so that is not a good solution just for somebody to get out from under their authority structure, because under the guise of, it'll be a good thing for me to go to Bible college, not necessarily. I saw some very vile things happen among freshmen at Bible college. And the primary reason is because they weren't there for the right reasons. They were there, and whoever sent them there was hoping that they'd turn around and they'd get the right heart. And it doesn't work. How's your heart? Which direction are you moving heart-wise? That's really the bottom line. There are many intelligent people in the world, but they're fools in God's eyes if they reject divine wisdom. Look at Job, the book of Job, chapter 28, verse 28. Job 28, verse 28 speaks of people like this. Job 28, 28 says, "Unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." And the Bible says this many times in Psalm 19, verse 9. The Bible says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And Proverbs 1, 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Also says in Psalm 111, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And that's where real wisdom begins. No matter how much knowledge a person has, they don't know what it means, and they don't know how to apply it, and they don't know how to deal with it unless they're willing to accept God's wisdom. Some people are always learning, but they never do come to the knowledge of the truth, and they're educated fools according to righteousness, according to truth. Proverbs 14:27 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." I remember Preacher Silcox saying years ago, you send a person off to college and they get a 4-year degree, and then they go an extra couple years and they get a 6-year or an 8-year degree and they become a doctor, and then they are clever devils. They have a lot of wisdom rattling around in their head, but they have no idea what it means or how to apply it, and they're not interested in following righteousness, so they're nothing but clever devils. The Bible, that's what the Bible's talking about here. People who have a form of knowledge, and they're seeking after gaining knowledge, but they aren't able to come to understanding of the truth. They never can put two and two together. And we should sharpen our tools. Sharpen our weapons. A preacher was talking about, should a person stay in Bible college and get an advanced degree? And he said, unless God has called you specifically to go do something, you know, sharpen your weapons, add to your arsenal as much as you possibly can, but just make sure you use those tools properly. Read your Bible, spend time in God's Word, and sharpen your sword as much as you possibly can. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And know as much as you can know about truth and righteousness, but make sure that you're using it and applying it in the right way. There's no sin to having more knowledge. There's nothing wrong with reaching your full potential and having as much information as you can possibly have. But don't be the one who gains knowledge, but you're never able to come to understanding the truth. You never will receive truth in your life and apply the truth in your life. All that knowledge won't do you any good at all. I had a cousin. He's gone now. He died of cancer. But he was a professor, and people in the family kind of joked about him because they said he's a perpetual student. He was always going to college. He was always earning another degree. He became the head of the physics department at a university in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And we visited him there one time. He was a brilliant man, but he never, as far as I know, he never came to know the Lord. He eventually died of cancer. His physics department at the university entered this experimental, experimental invention type contest, and they won it several years running, where they would invent these solar-powered cars or something, and they'd build these things from scratch, and they would win the contest. A brilliant man, a very, very intelligent man. He had lots of education. He had lots of knowledge. And for some people, that is the epitome of life's accomplishments. I just want to be brilliant. I just want to be super educated. For what? I have a good friend who pastored for many years, and he always said, we won't have a Bible Institute. I'll always send my young preachers off to Bible college because they'll get better academics at that Bible college than I could possibly give them here in our church in a Bible Institute setting. And he and I used to have good-natured arguments about that. And I told him, you know what? Academics don't really matter. And who cares? Who cares if I've got initials after my name? Am I able to give people truth that works? Am I able to give them practical principles for living? And can we bring the truth down to the bottom shelf so people can process it and apply it in their life? That's really what matters. And that's what a student learns in a local church Bible Institute here. Learns how it works, how things work in the life of a church. Not just these high-sounding academic principles and truths, historic facts about Bible history and all this kind of thing. And I said, I don't dispute that perhaps you have access to better academics on a Bible college level. But it's the practical side of things, how the truth works, that really matters most. And that's what people need, that's what people are looking for, and that's what makes the difference in people's lives. And those who are always learning but are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth suffer patience. They come up with all these academic principles that they've learned in their head, but they don't know how to live. And in many cases, they're educated fools. They're clever devils. May God help us to be able to apply principle. And if truth is not applicable to life, what good is it? If we can't apply it, if we can't put it to work in our life, what good is it? And truth should always be practical. If it doesn't teach me how to be a better man, if it doesn't teach a woman how to be a better woman, if it doesn't teach a husband or wife how to be a better husband, how to be a better worker, if it doesn't teach a wife how to be more faithful, how to be more genuine, if it doesn't teach a father and a mother how to be better parents and raise their children for the glory of God, if it doesn't teach a child how to be joyful and happy in their position in life and to be a joy and blessing to their parents, if it's not practical, what good is it? It's just more information that we store in our heads. And that's what God is criticizing. The Spirit of God is teaching us things about these people who they're always gaining more knowledge, but they don't come to the, they're always gaining more information, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. They never learn how the truth actually applies in life. And so they can't benefit from it because there's no application. How does the truth apply in your life? How do you put it to work? Let the Spirit of God accomplish His purposes in your life. Truth is practical. It's practical. Salvation is effective. Let's pray.